From Michigan Radio, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
The best and the brightest.
Opportunities.
The next idea.
We're going to find that these social and cultural factors really add a lot to economic growth.
Our nation's new president has made it pretty clear. He wants manufacturing jobs to stay in the U.S., and he wants our trade policies to put America first. The next idea is Jeff DeGraff has some surprising insights into what that would actually look like.
You may have missed it, but last summer Walmart got in some hot water with the Federal Trade Commission for their Made in the USA campaign. According to the FTC, for a company to make that claim, all of the product's components must be manufactured and assembled in the United States. In a globally integrated supply chain, how do you determine if something is made in a country? For starters, over half the world's steel production is in China. The U.S. produces less than 5%. So chances are anything made with steel, the major component in heavy manufacturing, already fails the Made in USA test. To get around this, many companies now use the term sourced to mean products made, assembled, or grown in the USA. This is a clever marketing ploy because it tells us very little about where the jobs are being created, the real reason we value Made in the USA. That brings us to the impending shift in U.S. policy, better known as America First. When we talk about global trade, countries with well-documented protectionist practices like China, Russia, and Japan come to mind. However, according to Global Trade Alert, an independent branch for the Center for Economic Policy Research that monitors policies that affect world trade, the country with by far the most restrictive tariff and non-tariff barriers is the United States. In other words, America has been first for decades. China is the world's second largest economy. Its rise has largely been due to the massive low-wage workforce that produces about 10% of all manufactured goods in the world. This has made it a cornerstone of the global supply chain. The U.S. now only produces about 5% of all the vehicles in the world. According to the American-Made Index, the number of cars built with 75% domestic parts from the U.S. and Canada has plummeted to only 7 in 2015. This makes it highly impractical, if not impossible, to extricate U.S. manufacturing from other countries and trading blocs. This takes us to the heart of the matter. To bring manufacturing jobs back to America would likely require one of three scenarios. The first is we pay significantly higher prices for the same goods we now buy. This would most adversely affect the poorest among us, such as those on fixed incomes. And the automotive industry, a key employer in our state, would be one of the hardest hit. The second scenario is that we coerce our workforce to work for wages comparable to those in developing countries. This approach increases the number of working poor in America. The third and most likely scenario is that we automate and eliminate these jobs. Where plants once had hundreds of workers, there are now only a handful of highly skilled robotics operators. Yes, we would like to find employment and advancement opportunities for all Americans. But ironically, these proposed protectionist trade policies will leave us isolated from the high-growth markets and opportunities required to actually put America first. Let's stay in the global markets we've established over the past century and double down on our innovation capabilities. Doing it that way, we could lead the world into the 21st century and put America first the American way.
Jeff DeGraff is a professor at the University of Michigan and our partner in The Next Idea. You can find his essay at The Next Idea link. Just go to michiganradio.org.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.